All right, guys, welcome in Tuesday's episode. You having a good time? That was the official.
I thought I was doing it. Are you doing it?
That was the official open. Here comes the official open.
Jesse, take it away.
We're excited. Nope. Go.
All right, sports everybody. Sports cards up.
Just a 45-minute sports card show about us babbling. That's it. You're not going to be able to hear anything. So that was your whole intro right there.
Thank you. Tuesday's episode.
I got the day of the week right this time. I'm out of breath. I literally had to run downstairs to get my monster because I refuse to do this show without it.
How many stairs are in your house? Three? Four stairs?
There's 11 landing, three landing, three. 17
How many times
total.
Have you fallen down those stairs?
Dude, when we first got those things, because when they first built the house, they had a high gloss finish on those. We had to have the painters come back and sand them down. Little feet slip easily. That's the show, folks. Appreciate it. We babbled. We talked about my steps. We'll talk to everybody Friday. It's been a good day.
All right. Good day.
Anything new with you? We're doing banter at the beginning. I know people hate it, but I like it. Anything to share? I haven't spoken to you all weekend, so.
I know. Sam, my wife, Samantha, was sick. She got that second COVID shot.
The cocoa.
And boy, howdy. 103 fever. We spent all day Saturday just chilling. And then,
you sound like you're chilling right now. You need a monster. That's your problem.
You know what? I'll tell you what the problem is.
Here we go. Your attitude,
number one.
Fight back. Number two,
the stock market is a joke and I hate it. That being said, got a lot of fun stuff to talk about with it later on.
Quick stock market tip. We are going to say this up front too. You are not allowed to say essentially. And I am not allowed to say, so again, I say again about 85,000 times, and then I'll say this.
I'll say this. I thought that's
your
main
one. I'll say this is bad.
I'll say this, and you say essentially.
I listened back the other day. I was like, that's literally just a show about nothing. This is like Seinfeld. We just say the same three things.
That's the definition of Seinfeld.
But we're not popular and rich. Well, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Speak for yourself. God, let's get into it.
Way too much banter.
We have to go right now.
Picture.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
We got so much sports news. It's just a bunch of mess.
Just so much. Tatis. Good news on Tatis.
Breaking news, as of like an hour ago.
Again, we're recording this Monday afternoon. Looks like he's going to be back. He's going to avoid heading to the DL. Looks like it's going to be the 10-day DL as opposed to over the weekend, people were saying this is it. Season-ending surgery. He's done. The injury itself looked gross, so I kind of thought that was going to be the case. Now they're saying he could return from the 10-day, I call it the DL, which is not appropriate anymore. It's the IL.
Why is that not appropriate?
It's the injured list. It's the injured IL list. Somebody did email the show and tell me that. I'm not trying to be insensitive to anybody. I didn't know it was changed from the DL to the IL. So it is now the injured list. I never knew that. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for all we ask. Here's what's crazy to me about that. So Jesse's got some numbers he's going to go over in a minute. Here is the one thing, and I feel like this is the same in the stock market as it is with cards. When people overreact, they get hurt and they lose money. So people started overreacting with Tatis based on pure speculation that this dude's going to be out for the year. Again, there's one. Keep track. The injury was gross. However, there was nothing real official from team doctors. Nothing came out in the absolute about it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, now we come to find out on Monday, dude could be back in a week or two.
How often do you think these things are overblown? I feel like I keep hearing
nowadays,
about, like,
everything is overblown.
Everything seems overblown. Every time someone's injured, they're out for the season. Yeah. And then they're out, like, they're back 3 games later.
And that's what's tough. Like, a guy like Tatis, if you heard the news and just started selling off. Now, here is one thing I did want to talk about, because people started asking about, because Wiseman's another guy we'll talk about. James Wiseman, the rookie for Golden State, injured. Looks like he might actually be done for the year. I think it's a meniscus. So people had commented and asked in the mailbag segment, which, if I'm stealing some of your thunder here, we'll talk about opening. You know, what do you do with injury news? How do you buy, sell? What do you do with your cards? Be patient, first of all. Find out exactly what's going on. Now, with Wiseman, the minute I hear that Wiseman might be done for the year, I'm out. Basketball's fairly hot right now, especially the rookie class.
Even if he comes back?
Even if Wiseman comes
through?
Yep. So Wiseman is a totally different level. That's why I have to go case by case. I'm out on James Wiseman. I don't think he's going to be a star player. You know, maybe a year or two from now, he might be. But if you hear he's injured, I would have moved his stuff immediately. So as of yesterday and today. Tatis is different, though. With a guy like Tatis, first of all, I want to know the extent of the injury. Because if he's coming back, which it looks like he is, there's some dudes, especially when you go through the numbers that Indy sent you, that sold super cheap compared to his pricing a week ago. Why? Because you wanted to over... Now, like I said at the beginning, though, if you hear of an injury and you sell off immediately and you got 90% of his pre-injury price, if you have a way to move cards that quick, I don't have any issue with that because they're going to come down. You can buy back in. But if you've waited like a couple days, 3, 4, 5 days like this, and then all of a sudden there's a story, maybe he's done for the year, and you sell it like the absolute floor on a guy like Tatis, I just think it's foolish. Patience. You have to figure out what exactly is happening with some of these dudes. I want to talk about two. I think Indy sent over a bunch of different stats.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about. So give me like his 2019. We had talked about this last week. So his 2019 Series 2 paper PSA 10. Those were doing like $300 before the injury. They dropped to $240 to $250 as of our show on Friday. What are those doing right now? Have they still dropped or no?
So right now, they are about, they've actually, they're still down. $200, $222, $230. This was as of a couple hours ago, though.
Okay, so say an average of $220.
Yeah.
So that's that's what, 25% from the peak of 300. That's down an extra 10% from Friday. Yeah, yep. The guys who are selling that at 200, I would be pretty irritated if I sold that card at $200. Because if he's going to be back in 2 weeks, that card is $300 a week from now, or 2 weeks from now, as soon as he steps back on the diamond. So that's what I mean with guys like that who are established stars. Not that his legacy is cemented by any means. He's not. If he ended up getting a career-ending injury this year, next year, he's a nothing in the grand scheme of things, right?
Wow.
But that dude is the face of the MLB as much as anybody now. And you sold out quick for what reason? Because there was some fake panic about maybe being done for the year.
Should I go right now and
should
buy
you be
some
buying
Tatis?
Tatis? I'll be honest with you. If you can find straight cash, homie, we're doing it right now, actually. If you can find that we're doing it. If we can find that PSA 10 2019 card, it's the horizontal card where he's throwing it. If you can find that card for $200, $210, I would buy that in a heartbeat. Absolutely. What's the Topps Chrome doing? Because those are the ones that had got up to $475. They had come way down last week to like $335. That was maybe the biggest hit. What are those doing now?
So it looks like they are about the same. They're about $380, $360, $380.
Oh, so those have actually rebounded some.
Well, they were at, so they had gone down as low as about 330 up to like 390. But so roughly about the same from last week. Not a huge hit.
So there's actually more room percentage-wise in the 2019 paper Topps card.
Yeah.
That's not a bad buy. If you can find the thing for 200 to 220 even, I would honestly buy that because it was just trading at $300 and as high as 310 for a bit.
Can you just keep talking? I'm going to be going on eBay.
Yeah, Jesse's just clicking away, market manipulating.
Let me ask a question before we go on.
Please.
Is there ever any concern that someone gets injured, or not concern, maybe a hope, that someone gets injured and they pull a rookie of the year style move where they come out of the cast and suddenly they can throw the baseball like 100 miles an hour?
Henry Weisengarten, what was the dude's name?
Fact that you know any of that is amazing. Could that happen? Is that a real thing, Mike?
Tighten up. Them say Tatis is playing basketball like LeBron because of the injury. He just came back rookie of the year. It's a good question.
Okay.
It's very reasonable, too.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you.
We'll work on that.
So okay. we've babbled over each other. We talked about my steps. Yep. Rookie of the year. Do you want to go right to Straight Cash, homie? 12-minute episode. That I'm good. I'm good to wrap this up. Put the whole stupid thing on YouTube.
No, there's too much just top news I have to give later.
Okay. Yeah, you're getting into... Yes, tops, by the way, we don't do a show preview because I kind of hate those. Specifically, yep. though, I'll be told one of these days we have to start, and I will. But for now, I don't like it. Jesse is going to talk Undertaker NFT and tops NFT pack release thing. All right, there's a bunch of things on the opening thing. Let me run through them. LaMelo Ball, first Prism PSA 10 base card sold. I knew it would be high because the population is stupid low because a lot of people are just not spending $300. It popped off last night at $1,850 on eBay. Insane. To put in perspective, Zion is doing under $7 right now. Luka is doing $12. Now, a lot of that is because there's none of these on the market. I still think that is crazy. If you have LaMelo stuff right now, that's exactly what I would do then. If you think it can gem, I would send it as fast as possible, pay the upcharge, get it back, and sell it off. For Prism, I would do that immediately. That is nuts. The other sale that I thought was awesome. So we're going to have somebody on from Collectible, either Dan or Ezra. We've talked to them in the past when we were doing our own thing for the podcast. They're a fractional site. The one thing I actually like about Collectible is their pricing to market is reasonable. And you can tell that because every time they get offers all the time to be bought out, to buy the actual item for way more than they sell it for. I like that model. They keep it reasonable. Actually, Joey Tribbiani, I believe, is in the group. The guy from Friends.
I think that's his name.
He's a guy on Facebook. This was his card that sold on Collectible. He's the one who sold. It's a Bird Magic. It's 2004, 2005. I think it's Exquisite Collection. Pro uniform, though, before Exquisite lost, or for Upper Deck lost licensing. It's a dual autograph, dual logo man, one of one. So they went to market, the fractional market, whatever, at a valuation of $500,000. It sold out super fast. That is a savage card. I don't really care for the whole fractional thing a ton. That's a card I kind of wish I had bought into. I think that's an awesome piece.
Really?
Bird Magic. You know, everybody tells you how they kind of saved the NBA back in the day, brought all the popularity back. But we are going to have one of those guys on. I actually am kind of interested in some of that stuff. And that's a crazy nice card. So again, for people saying like everything is down, well, no, I think we're starting to see people just get more selective during this valley in the market. But like a card like that going for $500,000 is just awesome. Thoughts on Bird Magic from you, please, essentially.
I always question every time you talk about Bird because I know how strong a fanboy you are. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Essentially, I question your take. But I'm not going to say you're wrong. I just know you love them.
I'll say this.
People are so drunk right now.
Yeah, Bird is still top five all time. I don't care what anybody says. Magic is one spot behind him. Nothing wrong with that. Magic and Bird are great. That's why all the stuff, the ball behind me is signed by both, the picture. I've got a bunch of the dual autos from Immaculate. I just think it's awesome. That whole time period, those two together. I like Magic. I mean, you can't not like Magic, so.
Okay.
Speaking of the Lakers, actually some good news, which is probably going to mean you have a short window to kind of start buying if you're going to. AD's coming back. They said 10 to 14 days is what the team released today. And then they said LeBron is not far behind. So in the next three and a half weeks, you're gonna have both those guys back. If you're gonna get in on AD stuff, like we talked about that the NTRPA last week for $16,000. Again, if he comes back, we're gonna see a bunch of his stuff really take off. LeBron numbers are still low. LeBron's kind of hovering right with the Kobe, Jordan, Bird, Magic, rookie. All that stuff is kind of down right now. The Duncans. I actually just bought a LeBron. Actually, I have it here. I just bought this LeBron the other day. I haven't bought a lot lately. Plastic crinkling. Good for the show.
Oh, sounds good.
One of the sweetest looking cards. 2003, Topps Pristine. It's an awesome looking card. Topps Pristine only did basketball 1 or 2 years, I think. This might actually be the only. It wasn't a lot. Maybe 3 years. Guys ask me this too. When you're going for like a vault type card, because to me, that's going to be a short-term vault card. If this stuff goes crazy championship, I'll dump it. Here's the reason I like it. It's numbered on the back. Serial numbered rookies of guys I like. I know what the population is. Even less. So it's numbered to 1999. Even less of those are gem. I got that for $5,600. And then one popped off on auction like 2 days later at 73. And this is, again, in that valley. Mark it down. Who's keeping track of this, by the way?
Corey. That's on you, bud.
Corey's keeping track of it. Perfect. producer and statistician.
Yep.
That's not how you say that word. That's okay. On it. He's on it.
Corey's on the podcast.
Jesse, say
you
it.
Heard him.
He's supposed say to say, what? Corey, leave that in. He's supposed to say, so he doesn't what? Edit his voice out.
Maybe next time you give me a heads up so I don't look like an idiot.
It's not easy doing two people's jobs, so I'll say that. There he is again. Corey, mark it down. We're good. So wrap it up. Point being with LeBron stuff, I think what we're starting, well, not I think, we're definitely starting to see in the market people going toward numbered rookies, harder to find, like SP rookies. His top stuff is down. Kobe's top stuff is down. But there's still a ton of money being spent in high-end basketball. So not a bubble bursting by any means. We've talked about this in the past. More just a market correction in certain areas. But the fact that AD and LeBron are both going to be back in time for the playoffs, it sounds like, with enough time to really work, you know, get the on-court chemistry back before the playoffs start. If you're getting on Lakers stuff, now is probably one of the last chances because I think we'll see a big spike.
So Lakers just... I've heard they recently beat the Nets. Is that is that correct?
What, Saturday?
They haven't done terribly without them.
They're still hanging on to that fourth, fifth, sixth seed. LeBron
or AD's value?
No. I mean, because everybody realizes... they could
win without them.
They could win some regular season games. That team without those two is getting eliminated from anybody out west first round of the playoffs.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, you can find some cute wins during the regular season, but that's not a team that's competing for anything without them.
Okay.
But with those two, I still think they're the top of the West. So speaking of teams, back to my biased Celtics take.
Here we go.
Which I'll be honest with you, I'm super, super homer for Bird. The modern day Celtics, I'm not all that in love with. I like Jaylen Brown. I can't stand Kemba Walker. Tatum, I like, but man, he gets frustrating when it counts. He's gone nuts lately. He put up like 50 the other day, or 53 even. I don't know if you saw this. And then they beat the Nuggets last night. They've played really well. He in particular is finally starting to find his groove. It's weird too. Even like 2 weeks ago, I haven't heard him say anything since, but he was saying like COVID was still kind of affecting him from months before when the season started. Yeah, he was just saying like he didn't have that same energy and drive, his workout. So, I mean, maybe he's getting healthy now, fully healthy. If that's the case... Boston is not catching the big three in the East. There's not enough games left. So you've got Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. Those three are going to be 1, 2, 3. You know, after that, the Hawks, Knicks, you got a bunch of other teams in the mix. Charlotte. I think the Celtics are clearly better than those two. I think they're closer to the top three. I bring this up, though, to say Tatum numbers are down. You look at his Prism, his Select, even like his Hoops and Don Russ rookies. Way down from where they were, especially during the playoff run last year. Tatum's another guy. I kind of put Tatum, AD, LeBron almost in that same kind of range. Like, hey, these are guys we know can play. If they find their groove and then head into the playoffs, their value from now to then is going to go way up. It's going to be much larger value-wise. And just the fact that basketball in general with new stuff is kind of down. I think Tatum's kind of a good buy right now. I don't love Jaylen Brown as a buy. His numbers are still kind of high from the super hot start he had. But I do think Tatum values are fairly low for what he's capable of and what we've seen him do.
Okay. Did the 53 points, did that do much to his value? Did you happen to see?
Nothing huge. I didn't see it. So a couple cards sold that night, like some buy it nows.
Yeah.
But I think now, too, most people are like, hey, we need to see it for a week. Usually you've got to see somebody do something for one game is not really enough to real unless it's a big moment in the playoffs.
Okay.
He hits a step back, you know, game winning three against the Nets in the playoffs. That's different. But regular season, I'm not sure one game does a whole lot. The only exception to that would be if it's a guy, an unheard of rookie comes off the bench and puts up 30 points. Someone does that, sure. But Tatum already has, you know, good value. He's already solid in the hobby.
Okay.
Got a lot of questions this week too about the next two guys. Why are Ja Morant and RJ Barrett values down so much? They're both playing well. Their teams are winning. I'll just tell you this right now. I don't know. The Morant pricing right now makes zero sense to me. I have no clue why he is as cheap as he is. I know he missed time early, but he's been back. The team's been winning. I like Morant too. He's a super competitor. They're kind of hovering that 7, 8, 9, 10 range. So, I mean, it looks like they're, unless something weird happens and Triple J is coming back, I think they're making the playoffs, at least a play-in round. And RJ's been good all year.
Is there ever a dip like before the play, like right before playoffs or something? Like when the season's been going for a little bit, Is that a thing? Like,
we've seen, honestly, we've seen that the past month with basketball in general. You kind of get into the stretch of the season is 82 or this year, 70 games. Guys just start to lose interest. It's like, yeah, we know at the beginning there's a ton of hype, and at the end there's a ton of hype, playoff hype, but there's that kind of valley in the middle where if guys aren't doing anything crazy, I think that's more of what we're seeing with Morant and RJ and even Zion. Do me a favor. Pull up Zion's stats the last 10 games. I don't know if I'm asked you to do that or not. They've been doing point Zion. They've been letting him run the point, especially with Lonzo out. Zion's stat lines the last week or so, even last night, he put up 30-plus. His shooting percentage is crazy. He's been doing that all season, not as high as he's been going the last few games, but Zion's another guy. I'm just not sure what it takes at this point for Zion's stuff to move the needle, aside from postseason success, because he can't do anything more in the regular season. What do you have there for all stats for him?
For last 10? Let's
see. Stop buying Tatis cards. Pull up a Zion Brothers.
I do have Tatis cards ready to go. All right, so Tatis, last 10 games.
Nope.
Zion. No, sorry. Zion, last 10 games. I already had it. Rebounds, 8. Assists, 5. Points, 33.
Do you have an individual breakdown of his games, or is it just last 10?
Let me see. Let's see if it breaks it down per game.
Because he went nuts against Philly the other day, and did they beat Philly? I'm trying to remember if they beat Philly the other day or not. Because my whole point with Zion,
Let's see, that's another guy. I've got Philly's game. Actually, he did even better. It looks like against Cleveland yesterday on Sunday. So
yeah, he scored 38 against Cleveland yesterday.
He did 38 yesterday. He did 37 points with Philly. He also had 15 rebounds and 8 assists with Philly.
Yeah, the assists are way up because they're letting him run the point, and they beat Philly. I hope so. Honestly, if you look at the West right now, just for like strictly speaking value for card market, what would be the absolute best case scenario? So right now, 7, 8, 9, 10, because you're going to have those are going to have a play in game. 7's the Mavericks, 8 are the Grizzlies. Mavericks are 2.5 games up there, though. I want both those teams in. I want Luka playing postseason basketball. I want to see Morant in there. But then you've got the Spurs at 9 right now, a game ahead of Golden State and 2 games ahead of the Pelicans. I would love it if the Spurs fell out. I just don't think there's anybody there moving the needle. Keldon Johnson played well early. You know, he had some movement, but I don't think anybody cares at this point a whole lot. It'd be cool to see Curry get in, and of course, if the Pelicans could get in, that would be awesome, because I think that might be the one thing now people need to see Zion do, because his last week has been insane stat-wise. I don't even like Zion. I shouldn't say that. Actually, I like his game. I think he's good. I just think he is so talented. I still, long-term, it scares me, his pop count. Long-term, his pop count and his injury. You know, I'm always just nervous, but man, he's been killing it. This whole point Zion thing's been insane. So, I don't know. There's some NBA stuff. MLB news real quick. Kyle Lewis, they say, might be back this weekend, which would be nice. Mariners are meh. He crushed the ball last year. It'd be cool to see him come back. If we get news that Kyle Lewis is coming back, go out and buy his stuff quick. 2016 Bowman is his rookie prospect stuff. 2020 Tops and 2020, just everything was his rookie year, actual rookie logoed stuff. So 2016 for prospect, 2020 for rookie. I'd buy everything Kyle Lewis because he's going to have stretches where he just murders the ball. JD Martinez, we'll talk about in Straight Cash, homie. Started off slow, but 3 home runs the other day, 16 RBIs, leading the league. Sox are killing it. They've won 5 or 6 in a row now. The only other guy, too, we heard a little bit about was Kelenic, Jared Kelenic for the Mariners as well. So Kelenic, actually, I took a screenshot of something because I know a lot of it has to do with team control and how much time they can spend up. So basically, they cannot call him up to the major league roster until April 12th, which would be Friday. Yeah, so he might get called up this weekend as well. If they do, they lose a whole year.
April 12th is today, by the way.
April 16th, I'm sorry.
Okay.
They can't call him up until April 16th. After April 16th, then this would not consist of a service year. So basically, they would have him under his rookie contract for a whole extra year if they hold off. So I don't think there's any reason they're bringing him up early.
So hold off on Kelenic, or
Kelenic. So yeah, so good. Look at you making the connections.
I figured this is a card show. Let's ask some questions.
So a lot of times, if there's hype about a guy getting called up, I'd say, hey, buy it before. Kelenic's hype is so crazy high right now. I would actually like to. This is another one of those things. I'd be patient. I would risk missing the absolute maximum amount of profit because I would wait to see what he does against big league pitching consistently. He's already really high. It sounds like he's a can't miss guy. I mean, they're super high on him. I hope that happens. But I would actually wait to see when he gets called up and what he does the first few games before doing anything. I could be wrong. I would hold off on Kalenic.
Okay.
Not because I don't like the kid. I'd like to see what he can actually do.
Speaking of the transparency. I appreciate that you're not 100%, but you're letting the audience know that.
Sure.
Because a lot of things you are very certain of.
Speaking of Mariners, right over my shoulder there, Ken Griffey Jr. autographed helmet from Fanatics. Got that in last week. Was pretty excited. I thought about wearing
it.
Couldn't get the headphones over it. Wow. Fun for no one.
Come on.
You know what? Here's the deal. Thursday, yep. I say we go full costume for Thursday's recording.
Full costume.
I don't care what the costume is. one last Masters note. Hideki Matsuyama won the Masters. I tried to look for his rookie card stuff. He has almost nothing. Strangely enough, though, he has some autographed cut autos from a Leaf product from 2015. I don't actually see any listed right now. That could change by tomorrow. If you can find his stuff cheap, though, I would buy it in a heartbeat. Just won the Masters. There's going to be hype with golf. We talked about it the other day. Upper Deck is putting out a couple golf products later in the year. By the way, I forgot the name of those two. One of them was Artifacts. I forget the other golf one. I should know this. We just talked about it. The prices had gone crazy from when they were initially released in pre-sale to what they were on our Friday show. I looked today right before the show, sold out everywhere. Artifacts completely sold out. What is the other Upper Deck?
I just Googled that.
Dude, 2021 Upper Deck Golf. It might pop up. Yeah,
SP? Does that mean anything? Artifacts is the only thing that keeps coming up.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and find it. Either way, it seems like there's a ton of hype around golf. This is another guy I'm assuming they're going to have his rookie card, his first actual Upper Deck rookie card in there, along with everybody else. Golf just seems like the next market that could kind of take a nice jump. The Masters are huge, by the way. I don't care about golf anymore. I watched a little as a kid. But
I've been getting a lot of updates on it. And it seems like,
it's massive.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of attention this year, more so than others. Here's the thing about golf. So we had a basement at my house growing up, and it was no windows. My dad got a 63-inch, like 400-pound TV.
Sure.
And on Saturday afternoons, I just remember him downstairs, lights out, golf. And like half the time, I think he was sleeping.
Why were the lights out?
Because if you know my father at all,
I do know your father.
He appreciates a very dark, almost basement dungeon room, I think is the best.
So Mark is sitting in a dungeon in the early 90s just watching golf by himself. Well, that's what you're telling me.
Here's the thing. So my association with golf is, oh, this is something you go and take a nap
prisoner.
To.
This is what a prisoner watches.
He enjoys it. There's nothing wrong with a dark room on a sunny day. Feels good.
I don't know what is happening anymore.
Love you, Dad.
I'll tell you what's more entertaining than golf. Or were you going to say this?
Chris Vernon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you haven't seen Vernon's stuff on Grind City Media, he does I guess he's been doing this for a few. Obviously, we just met Chris a few months ago. I hate sports radio in general. I just think it's super boring. Nothing funny ever happens. Dude, his Masters thing, just his show in general is funny anyways. I like him. And he works for The Ringer, so we can actually talk about him. his Masters update, if you don't watch him, Chris Vernon Masters update, just Google it. It is the funniest thing you'll ever see in your life.
If you're already following us, I posted a little clip.
Yeah, we tweeted it out last week a bunch. It's ridiculous. I get more happy about the Masters because I know those are going to come out than anything else. So there you go. All right.
Before we move on, I have a question. Okay. So we keep talking about the dip in NBA. We're in an industry that is admittedly not huge in the grand scheme of things. Yep. It's very big, growing, but it's not in the grand scheme. So is it possible that baseball, opening day, all that has been cannibalizing the basketball market as far as
no question
they're taking money out of they're selling those and they're wanting to get the Tatis, the Acuna, whatever the case may
absolutely
be.
And I think we'll see that revert back in a month to I think we'll see the basketball numbers spike huge because of the postseason. So much hype around the playoffs. right around that time too, you have the Hall of Fame induction from last year's class. So Kobe, Garnett, Duncan, which is going to be crazy. I think that will then take a bunch of money out of the baseball spend and go to basketball. I think it's exactly, that's why I say it's a market correction to a degree, but it's also just a shift in market focus more as much as anything. That's what I think it is. Cause the guys I talk to who do this for a living full time and have, I mean, a lot of these guys, millions invested, you know, and these are guys on the ground level, buying and selling, flipping cards, ripping packs, you know, grading and selling graded slabs. That's kind of their thinking. It's not like it's an original thought for me. I just feel like most people realize, hey, we're going to have peaks and valleys based on, like you said, MLB got crazy hot. Cool. Let's spend money there. NFL is going to pick up with the hottest draft class in the history of the game, prospect wise for NFL. Mm-hmm. We're going to see that pull money because overall the space is growing, but it's not big enough to sustain the peak of all these sports at once. So we're seeing dips when others rise. Yeah, for sure.
Appreciate Corey, go ahead and take that out. That needs to be a clip.
Clip that up. There's a YouTube.
There's a clip.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. NFT talk. So big news with Topps today, and big news with, it's not WWF. What is wrestling called now?
WWE, buddy.
WWE. It was WWF when I was rolling. I loved The Undertaker as a kid, by the way. He was my favorite wrestler as a kid. I thought he was awesome.
They had to change it because it was World Wildlife Federation.
That's right. You used to Google it or whatever.
Maybe you'd know that if you cared about the animals.
A panda bear would show up on your screen.
That's on my debit card. My debit card is a panda bear. It's a WWF. Can you hold that up? I thought you were reaching.
What's that CVR code in the back? Go ahead and share it with the listeners and your social.
ABC. Let's talk about Topps and NFTs for a second.
Can we hit Undertaker first? Because Undertaker's first. Quick.
Well, here's the thing. And Undertaker is Topps. This is all Topps. Because...
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Topps owns the licensing NFT rights for WWE.
Do they really?
Baseball? Yeah. It's a whole... In fact...
I didn't know that.
I had a whole page of all of the things. I talked a little bit about it on the last show, but, you know, Marvel cards, Disney cards... Garbage Pail Kids cards, and that includes WWE as one of them.
You're a man of the people.
I like to be somewhat knowledgeable in certain situations.
Sure.
In this situation, though, the Undertaker NFT is kind of insane as far as what the prices went for. Any idea on an Undertaker? It's kind of like a moment in the sense of it's a video clip.
Like a Top Shot moment.
Yeah.
Like didn't Top it sell Shot for like 100? Did it go for $100,000?
$100,000 for the number one thing. It was an auction style.
Is there only one?
So of for that the one? Number one, the Platinum Undertaker, there's only one. It did include like, you know, tickets to WrestleMania either this year or next year, depending on which one you chose.
Okay.
Personalized message. There's
So that's the part I loved about the Undertaker. That's why I said do a little more research. I knew I wasn't going to because I don't care about NFT. But about this part, I do like it. With Undertaker, they were doing some tangible, some physical things with it. It was like a package deal, right?
Actually, I was looking at the WWE cards. I don't know if Topps actually did have their fingers in this one. Topps does own WWE, but this specific one, now that I'm looking at it even closer,
sounds like it was a separate release.
Yeah. So this, but
so the guy who got the 1-on-1 Undertaker, though, you get the moment, yes, obviously, but then you also got tangible stuff with it.
Yeah, physical exactly stuff. You got like you're going to get a customized like belt, championship title belt. You'll get,
see, that's kind of cool to me. I so love that. I do like that aspect of it because you're combining both things.
I think you would appreciate some of these NFTs that people are selling because some of them actually aren't just digital things. They come with physical things as well.
Hey, can I interject for one more second? Then I will leave this to you. So Blake Jameson just tweeted out. Blake Jameson's the artist we had on. He does Project 70, Project 2020.
Yep.
Cool. I actually like, Blake was pretty cool to come on here and did a cool giveaway. He just retweeted from Damian Lillard. So Damian Lillard is the point guard for the Blazers. Not sure if
you knew that.
Lillard, first release from my Dame Time NFT series drops today at 2 p.m. West Coast time. Visit his website for the full offering.
So more NFT.
It's just funny. Yeah, card, just like,
I mean,
yeah, just more guys are getting into.
Here's the thing. Today of all days, if you're going to talk about NFTs, it's the day. Because with Topps, I feel like, and this is going to move into a Topps conversation because NFT, I feel like, is now associated with Topps to a degree even more so than Top Shot, or it will really be more so than Top Shot. I feel like they are all in. In fact, I think if you're investing in Topps, the stock, you're investing in NFTs. And MUDS is what they are currently trading for, trading the ticker symbol. And let me just say this. So when we talked about it last week, it was like it had gone up and then it had come back down. It was around like 1050, 1060 or something. This morning, I was like, you know what? I think I might get in. But then the electric vehicle company I'm in tanked. And I'm like, well, I don't want to like sell at a loss. So
is this why you were in a bad mood? I guess I'll
wait. Yes, it's
you're doing a good job hiding it, though. I like
that. Thank you. I'm blocking out the pain while I talk.
You're also blocking your face every time you scratch it like that, but that's fine. You're doing good.
That's a compliment.
I'll say this.
MUDS has gone from this morning in the tens to 1220 something. No, 1250.
25% jump?
15% today. 15%. It was not 1050. It was 11
Okay. You think based on the Topps news, is that the only thing that's happened? Well,
I mean, that's what's happened today. They came out with Topps, and I'm going to be honest with you. I went out and I started an account. I started so their platform that they're going to be doing the buying and selling of these NFT cards for Topps is going to be Wax. That you can get a Wax wallet, Wax. In fact, has nothing to do with trading Wax. Like we talk about Wax, like as in actual cases and boxes of cards. That has nothing to do with it. Wax in this situation is an acronym for Worldwide Asset Exchange. But bottom line is you use Wax as your crypto coin wallet, basically. Wax is a type of crypto coin, and you are going to be purchasing these cards, MLB cards. You can purchase essentially. I use that one for real.
You're doing great, Corey. Mark it down.
You're able to buy all kinds of goods, NFT art. But what's different about this than a lot of others, I talked about this on the last show, is that they have the technology built in to where Topps, if this is sold on the secondary market, Topps can still get a chunk of, but at least a portion.
Like
of
a royalty that sale down the road almost.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So
what's the actual Topps like pack?
Topps has a couple packs that are going to be coming out. Again, announcement came out today, Monday the 12th, but the big release isn't until the 20th. So that is a week from tomorrow.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So which we may have somebody on the show for that. It's been teased. We'll see.
Yeah, we're talking about it. Couple packs. You can buy one pack for $5. It's gonna have it's just what they call their standard pack. It'll have six cards in there. You got some common, uncommon, rare, super rare, epic cards is how they're describing them.
Yep.
They will also have $100 packs, which will have all of those cards plus what they're calling epic exclusive and then legendary exclusive, which you have a 0.04% chance of pulling one of those.
Okay.
But they will have a total, I believe, from what I read, was 75,000 cards.
Packs that, or cards?
I'm sorry, 75,000 packs.
Packs, right? Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed to admit, I put $1,000 in and I plan on buying a few of these packs.
Really?
And here's what's interesting though. Unlike
Top Shot.
When I put money in Top Shot. When I put in Top Shot money, it was, I feel like this, the value of that was relatively stable. I put in $1,000 this morning. It is currently at $911.
Okay.
There's a little bit more volatility in this cryptocurrency than maybe whatever you're used to with Top Shot. So be aware of that.
Although Top Shot was crazy. Weren't the values there super fluctuating a ton or not?
I don't know. I didn't notice as much with that. But I will say, and this is kind of my final point, if you think that NFTs have a future, get in on Top Shot or get in on Tops now, because this is essentially this is the time to buy, just like Top Market Shot down. Was back a few months ago.
So let me just interject. I keep on saying, I don't want to say, let me say it again.
I know.
I actually think, again, I don't necessarily care about the NFT space, but I will be interested to see what Tops does. I think this is really what Top Shot was supposed to be in the beginning. Like a cheap way for people to have fun, instant access, especially kids, like people who can't buy packs, can't afford boxes, to have some fun in the hobby again. Yeah. Right? But what happened with Top Shot is it went stupid, crazy. Like all of a sudden moments were going for $200,000. And yes, mm-hmm. it bogged everything down and they weren't ready for that. That's fine. The money thing, whatever. I really hope this just stays. Like, I don't want to see you. Honestly, I don't want to see your 1,000 become 25,000 overnight. Like, I want this to be a vehicle where Tops can be like, hey, here's like a cheap, cool thing. Buy a pack mm-hmm. for $5. Let kids open it. And yeah, if you hit the epic moment where it's one in every 100 packs has one, cool. You can trade the $5 pack. That card's maybe worth $100. I don't want to see the values get totally out of hand. I don't want to see the Top Shot thing. I really don't. I think it'd be cool if this just stayed like kind of a chill. I'm curious though, what do you think? Because I don't know, I have no idea what the production of Top Shot was. They're making 75,000 packs just for the release, right?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, isn't that way, way more than Top Shot ever released?
That's the thing. I think at the very beginning, it may have been more. I don't remember what Top Shot was. But I do know this. First off, I don't like the fact that you don't want my $1,000 to turn to $25,000.
I'm glad you caught the point of this whole conversation.
Don't care for that little
Essentially,
point.
Essentially, I don't want you to make money.
But what I'm seeing here is that the NFT of Tops is going to be the first step in for the MLB. You're going to see something like this with the NFL eventually. They couldn't stay out of this.
But why can't they do this? Do this mass, cheap, crazy, overproduced release like this for $5 and even for $100. If you want to do something on the super high-end stuff, then fine. Have Mike Trout have a one-of-one actual artist-drawn card that also has an NFT that's a one-of-one and sell that for $1 million. Why can't we do both?
So your point is actually valid, but they have something like that. They essentially have a version of this for kids. It's like MLB Bunt. Yeah. So that's like where you can go and get free cards. Kids can trade them. It's like a game, but it's also a collection, a way to collect cards for free. I think this is that higher end. If you like that, if you like to trade cards, kids can get into it. It's for free. But then if you actually want to try and make some money and you want to experience a higher end, I think this is that.
Yeah, but Topps Bunt, like, no one cares about it. It's never been... I agree.
It's not an NFT. Those aren't NFTs.
Right, that's what I mean. I thought this would be kind of cool. The other thing that's going to be interesting to me, Top Shot went crazy, and especially when it first released, 90,000 people in the queue, all this stuff. I think there's going to be a rude awakening for the... And I say awakening. The MLB already knows, I'm sure. Your MLB market is almost entirely in the collectible space, nationally popular. Yeah. It's a U.S. thing. NBA Top Shot. Now, granted, not everybody could get into Top Shot internationally, but the appeal, the interest, the NBA has a crazy popular international market. NFL doesn't have that. MLB doesn't have that. And they're producing more up front. I do. I hope this stays to be the kids thing. I really do. I hope this stays cheap.
I hope you lose $1,000. I do think that there is at least some interest because they had a thing this morning where first 10,000 people to sign up you had to create a wallet, put in your wallet number and then your email. First 10,000 got a free pack or something like that.
Okay.
I did get into that. I did manage to get in, but it was closed out, I think by like 9 or 10 a.m. this morning. Like it had already filled. So
interesting.
This is first day, first few hours. And 10,000 people already jumped in. To put that into perspective, like we've talked about a few of these other, you know, investment platforms for cards, like, I don't know, I think like Alt or something. It was one of them I had looked at.
Yeah, we're like 4,000 waiting.
And Alt had 4,000, but that was
Dibs
like
was a little bit more
weeks
than that,
or months afterward. This is like first day of announcement, 10,000 in the first couple hours.
Maybe we need to get somebody from Tops on here.
No, and that's also people who managed to create a wallet. I don't think anyone's going to be able to do this perfectly because I think the technology is still too new, but very similar to Top Shot, it is kind of a pain as far as creating your wallet and then putting money in there. I had to actually call my bank to get them to release it.
Oh, really? So it's a hassle on the money side of it.
And don't even get me started about taking your money out of this one. At least on Top Shot, there was an option, like there was a button to withdraw. And maybe this changes. Maybe there's going to be something
with
else.
With the release?
I don't think there is because Wax is not exclusive to Tops. So I don't think just because Tops is now trading on their platform, it's going to be any different. Okay. But I literally had to start Googling. Oh, wait, I don't see a button. How do I withdraw money from Wax? And I found like a Reddit thing that kind of tells you essentially have to move your money out of this account into another wallet and then pull your money out of there.
Which was kind
of
like that. Isn't a Top Shot kind of like that? You have to use like
at least like they have the infrastructure built into Top Shot.
Granted.
They weren't responding. They wouldn't respond to me actually wanting to withdraw. So that was an issue. But yeah, at least there was some kind of infrastructure. There doesn't seem to be much here. So again,
cool.
I digress. If you like NFTs, go ahead and invest in MUDs.
I have a couple cards handy. 101. Oh. Take it away.
101. Well, what are we talking about? I don't know.
All right, good. All right, we'll take it back. Thanks, Jesse.
101 this week, grading qualifiers, subgrades.
Yes.
We got this question, and I'm so glad they asked because I've been wanting to know the same.
Yep.
How do these subgrades, the qualifiers, the coloring, all that kind of stuff, how does that affect pricing?
Okay, so real quick, I'm going to use this card because my buddy Brandon literally sent me this card for free, by the way. This is a 2001 Sign of the Times autographed football set. I think it's an awesome set. I would argue that's the most valuable card to get. I'm just putting the set together mostly raw because I think it's cool. But Jim Brown PSA 10 is stupid nice. Brandon literally sent this for free, and he's given us some cool advice on the show. Dude's a good person. Hopefully, I haven't even told you. There's some charity thing, too, we're getting involved in with him, which I need more details on, but I think it's going to be cool. I'm going to hold up the label. We'll also put a picture for Corey just to show, because that's just all glare. So, again, you can see from the top of the label. This is just a Gem Mint 10. That is a straight grade, nothing special about it. However, there are times when next to the card, it will say Mint 9, and then in in the brackets, which I don't remember. What are those
called? Those are parentheses. Yep. You had it.
Parentheses. Quotes. Oh, no. Yes. Parentheses.
Yep.
I smart. That's a Havel education coming back. So then in parentheses, you would see certain letters, certain qualifiers. On PSA, now this is PSA only, not with BGS. So on PSA, some of the more common ones, if you see a 9 and then parentheses next to it, OC, that means the card is off center. If you see MC, miscut. PD is a print defect. I'm trying to think of what the other ones might be. Do me a favor real quick. Google PSA grading qualifiers. The overall point here, though, is we've had a couple guys who say, hey, we just got back in the hobby, found this card. It was super cheap. I bought it. PSA 9 is doing 100. I got it for 80 bucks, but it had a qualifier. Huge distinction in value. Again, if you're in the hobby already, you already know this. This is for the beginners. So just, you know, I don't want any stupid comments of why is he explaining this. The general rule is if a card has a qualifier, it knocks it down two grades. So a 9 OC is roughly the same value as a PSA 7, about two grades. Am I missing any of the qualifiers?
So you said OC. I don't know if you said ST, stain.
Stain, ST. So stain, for example, you'd see a lot on vintage. There'll be a wax stain on the back of the card or something. ST is a, yeah, stain. Yep.
Okay.
What else is on there?
PD, print defect?
Print defect, yep.
And then OF, out of focus.
Oh, I didn't. That's actually new. I didn't know OF was a thing. Okay.
I wonder how often you get an OF because, I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a card out of focus. I've never seen an OF.
What else is on there?
And then last one, MK marks.
Oh, so miscut is not a thing. MK is marks. I'm an idiot. Overall point, though, is if a card has a qualifier, a PSA card has a qualifier, it's more comparable to a grade two levels down. 7 OC comparable to a PSA 5. General rule of thumb. Okay. The other thing I want to talk about real quick, I'll use a LeBron card again. On BGS cards, it gives you the overall grade. So this is a 9.5, which is gem mint. BGS also has a 10, which is pristine. And they also have a 10 where it's a black label. A 10 black label, BGS is different from PSA. First of all, they do half grades above 9. PSA does half grades up to 8.5. After that, it's just 9 and 10. BGS does half grades up to 9.5. Then 10. But the other big distinction with BGS, they do 4 subgrades. That's literally what all those smaller grades are on the card. So on BGS, you get a grade for centering, edges, corners, and surface. To get a 9.5 gem mint overall, you can have one grade that's a 9 if the rest are 9.5 or above. The only exception to this, and you rarely see it, if a card had 3 10s and an 8.5 for subgrades, that could still be technically a 9.5. The reason, one thing that's always been interesting to me too, we see all these new card companies pop up. It's funny, PSA is the industry standard and they have a 10, which is very attainable, right? A BGS 10 is super difficult to get. Crazy, it outsells a PSA 10, but it's not realistic. Nobody is sending into BGS with the hopes of getting a 10, you're hoping to get a 9.5. I think it's funny other grading companies don't adopt what PSA does. Just give the overall card a grade. PSA doesn't do subgrades either, like all the other companies do now. I just think it's funny. All the new guys in the space have tried to copy the BGS model. No one has really come in and copied PSA where it's just straight grades with no subgrades.
Can I be honest? I actually kind of like the BGS model because I feel like
I love
there's
it.
More distinction between your PSA 10
no
and
question.
My PSA 10 if yep. we had subgrades beneath it.
Here's the reason it gets tricky, especially for new guys, though. This is what is known as a minimum gem, a min gem, because it has 3 9.5 grades and a 9. Basically, the lowest grade you could have to still be a 9.5. But if this was just a 10 and 3 9.5s, still be a 9.5 overall gem mint, but that's what's known as a true gem plus. I know we're getting real a little technical. If all 4 subgrades are 9.5, it's just a true gem because every grade on the card would say 9.5. The 4 subs, the overall grade, all 9.5. But a true gem has a super premium over even just that card as a minimum gem. Realistically, probably a 10 to 15% markup. And if it was a true gem plus, it's even more. That's where it gets weird for new guys because they look just like I do. That's the same card as if that card had a 10 subgrade instead of a 9. Yet the one with the 10 subgrade sells so much higher, but it's the same overall grade. Why the confusion? We get a lot of questions about that, and it is confusing, quite frankly. I like it, but it does add that next level of, okay, you know, just kind of strange. So anyways, we did want to touch on the 101. The qualifiers is something people have asked about quite a bit, so there's a little bit of information on that. Be careful, though. If a PSA 9 seems super cheap for a PSA 9, but it has letters next to it, it's because it has a qualifier. Not worth a PSA 9.
Good to know.
Huge release this week, 2020 NT Football, National Treasures. You'll hear nothing but complaining this week because how expensive it is. The stuff used to be $800 a box. Now it's literally $42 to $5,000 a box.
Yep. What?
It is crazy expensive. Here's the reason. You're going to pull Herbert RPAs, Burrow RPAs. They're going to be tens of thousands of dollars. The market is hot. This football class is hot. NT is the gold standard for patch autos out of football. Comes out Wednesday. We're going to be breaking some. I think Eddie over at Geo Breaks is doing some as random player breaks. You'll see a lot of those too. We often talk about PYTs. Random player break is where there'll be however many players individually are in the set. Hundreds, 300 or 400 usually with a product like National Treasures. 250 to 350. What you'll do is you'll take a spot. You will get a randomly assigned player. Good and bad to this. Your chances of hitting, obviously, are one in whatever the amount of players are. So very low chance of hitting. Your entry-level price is way cheaper. I like random player breaks for products like National Treasures and Flawless.
Wait, can I win? Could I conceivably get a Burrows card that's worth something like that for relatively cheap in that situation?
Yeah, so whatever player you get, like I said, I think we're going to break the product probably in the $16,000 to $18,000 total range. So mm-hmm. whatever that is, say you're even numbers, 18,000 so divided by 300 players. So 60 okay. bucks a whack. Well, if we pull a Burrow RPA out of that, whoever has the Burrow spot for $60 gets the card.
When are you doing this? I went in.
He's going to start listing those tomorrow, probably. I'm going to be breaking all day. I say tomorrow. It'll be Wednesday. Tomorrow's actually Tuesday, the day release. It's an awesome product. National Treasures, like I said, it's in football, it is the gold standard product. I love it. You know, that's one of the few products I'll chase because I'll chase Brady autos out of there. In years past, NT and Flawless have always had Brady. It's super rookie heavy. You're chasing the RPAs, but the vet hits in there are insane as well. It's got booklets. I mean, you're paying for it, though. It's crazy expensive. And mm-hmm. cost on National Treasures, man, cost is super low. I always bring up cost because you'll always have breakers whining. Some of these big rooms, you know, here's what it's doing. Cost is like $3,000, maybe a little more than $3,200-ish. So if you hear your breaker complaining about what they're paying for it, just know they're paying like $3,200. Now, granted, they probably had to go out and buy more cases at the marked up price to have more for the room. But every breakers make a ton of money on NT, which is cool. Market's hot, you know, for the guys who hate it and everybody's ruining the market. Fine. Just don't buy into it. You know, again, I always say that if you don't like the price, don't buy in. Origins basketball also comes out Wednesday. I'm all set with Origins. I don't love it. As a break, maybe. I would never. It's not a product I'm holding. It's not a product I'm stashing away. It's like $500 a box, $450 to $500. Two autos or patches per and a couple numbered cards. Quite frankly, with Wiseman going down now too, LaMelo's already out. I don't like the product anyways, and I don't love the class that much, so I'm out on that. There you go. Do your thing.
Straight cash, homie.
Right into it. R&B version. Look at you.
Tried something new. I think I'm going to do that every time. People are going to love it even more.
They do. I only have two. I teased the first one. 2011 Topps update, JD Martinez, PSA 10. $125. JD has been largely overlooked because Boston's been terrible the last couple of years. He's had some on and off injuries. Leading the league in RBI early. Got a few home runs. He had three the other day. Boston's on a nice little win streak. And I think we're finally starting to see, whereas in years past, I would have said, man, if a guy's rookie was from 10 years ago, it's like no matter what he does, unless it's insane, people just don't care. There's too many new guys, the new thing to go after. We're starting to see guys go after people like that, like JD Martinez. We talked about Posey the other day. Posey has a big year. Guys will chase his stuff. You know, JD's not on the Posey level, legacy-wise. But if JD has like a huge month of April, by the time May rolls around, that card could very well be higher just because he's an awesome hitter. I mean, he's super talented. Boston's playing well this year. So for like 125, I like it. To me, if Boston is trending up and playing well in a month, that card hits 200-ish, that's kind of my sell range. I'd pay 135 or less probably. I think I saw a couple today in the 125 range. As soon as that card hits 200, I'm probably out. The other one, speaking of basketball, we've talked about Steve Nash in the past. His stuff jumped with everything else. Mm-hmm. Not nearly like everything basketball jumped a few months ago, though. So a 1996 Steve Nash Topps PSA 10 rookie. Now, Kobe for a while was 9 to 10,000. I think Kobe's probably down in the 5 to 6 range right now. Steve Nash had only ever got up to about $1,000. A couple hit 1,200. You can get that card now for $800 or less. The reason I like it, Nash is an all-time great. Point guard wise, I mean, he's not Magic Isaiah Stockton. But after that, he's probably in the discussion. He's, you know, he's not Steph Curry. He's top, what, 5 to 9-ish, somewhere in that range, I think. That card, too, the fact that it's down 50% from its peak, and the peak wasn't that crazy. I like that. The other thing I like about it, he's the head coach of the Nets, who I think are going to the finals. I think that Nash card, if you get a little bit more money, so for that, I'd be a little bit more flexible. $800 or less, I think, is reasonable. And I think I'm holding that until minimum of $1,000, and I'm holding this until I see what the Nets are doing in the playoffs. Because I think if the finals come, that gets to be a creepy card. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, Hall of Fame player, also going in as a first-year coach and wins a championship if they kind of go down that route. If best case scenario, that car could hit $2,000 to $3,000realistically. I just think $800 seems pretty cheap for me, especially kind of a perfect storm. We're in the Valley of Basketball anyways. Why not take a shot? Do you have, I forgot to even ask you, do you have a straight cash homie or no?
I've got two straight cash homies.
You don't feel good about either one. Perfect.
So usually my straight cash homies are off the beaten path. So this is even off that because it's not a card.
Oh, God.
So straight cash homie, the point of straight cash homie is to get in while it's low.
Sure.
So that eventually it makes you some money.
That's correct.
I plan
to listen to you sing.
But. I do think I've changed my viewpoint on MUDs / top, the stock.
Really? You were not in last week.
This is not advice. I cannot give you financial advice.
Oh, yeah. What's the... Yeah, there has to be some disclaimer here.
I'm not a financial advisor. Corey, cut it. What? Don't cut it. You need to cut that part. That's the part you want.
Cut the whole thing. I want our liability really high.
I think that NFTs have a future. I don't know how long that future is, but I do think they've got a future. And I think that TOPS is going to continue to go up. Again, MUDS is the ticker symbol.
M-U-D-S.
If you don't want to invest in the stock, if you don't want to do any of that kind of stuff, get involved in any of these platforms that are selling NFT cards. Wax is the one that that I'm now familiar with. There are a ton of cards, whether you have a weird obsession with Godzilla trading cards.
Of course I do.
Garbage Pail Kids.
Matthew Broderick Godzilla only for me.
Obviously. But the thing is, there's so many of these that are relatively cheap right now. I think spend like $10 and get four cards and just sit on it. I mean, if you think you're going to go and get a couple Starbucks coffees in the next week.
I'm not. Instead, I don't drink coffee.
That's fair.
I'm going to drink a bunch of Monsters in the next week.
Oh, my God. No sugar. Not a sponsor. That's my straight cash homie for you. I think that this is cheap enough to where you could throw a little cash at it and then forget about it until it pops.
We get it.
Do you get it?
Cool. MUDS. One thing I want to point out, we got to wrap this up because I want to hit a couple mailbag questions because I do like that. People like mailbag. I always say we're going to save a ton of time. We never do.
We're going to save so much time.
This day in history from ballislife.com on Twitter. He retweeted. It was all over, but I actually liked it. I've talked to him a little bit on Twitter. Seems like a nice guy. 8 years ago today, April 12th, so 2013, this is when Kobe, first of all, he had hyperextended his knee in the game against the Warriors. He was already had like a sprained ankle or a sprained wrist, kind of nursing that as well. And then he tears his Achilles in the game. He was driving to his left, just falls to the ground, grabbed his ankle immediately. So he kind of walked off the court for a moment on the bench, chilled out. But then he comes back, and you can tell the look on Kobe's face. Kobe knows he's done, right? Comes back in, and again, I know I'm supposed to hate Lakers and all things Lakers as a Celtics fan. I loved Kobe. I just thought he was like the on-court Kobe. His off-court stuff, totally different game. On-court Kobe, though, comes back in, knocks down two free throws. And what's interesting is even in between the free throws, he doesn't move because he knows it. The dude knows his body. He knew he was done. I just thought it was cool. What do they say? The Lakers announcer or the Lakers trainer or the announcer is like, that was his gutsiest moment. It was for those who remember when that happened. It was like, okay. And he was kind of getting toward the end anyways. He was getting older and he wasn't the Kobe of young. It was just a cool. So when I saw that all over Twitter and stuff that I retweeted, I thought it was pretty interesting. So
where do you compare that with Jordan coming out with the flu playing in the finals?
I mean, hard to compare one moment to a whole game.
I can tell you how Jordan's always better. Don't you dare speak ill of Jordan.
You can't say anything's better than anything Jordan ever did, period, because Jordan people just go nuts. Jordan fans will never talk about how he never made the finals without Scottie, though, and how he got eliminated from the first round at times. You can literally cannot. I don't dispute Jordan's the number one player of all time. It is interesting to me. You can't say a single thing about Jordan not being the greatest or even present a case without just people going. Any other great, you can argue. Like you say Brady, 10 guys could give you a fact and they'll stand behind it and it's okay. Even Gretzky, it's like, well, Gordie Howe did it first or Bobby Orr did it as a defenseman. Baseball, there's no unanimous great anyways, like all-time GOAT for baseball. Jordan is the one guy that you literally, it's like to Jordan guys, you cannot say a thing about it. And if you do, it automatically just becomes, they just rip LeBron. So if I say, well, Jordan never won without Scotty. Oh, well, LeBron had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Kyrie Irving. They just go, it's like, yeah, what is that? That doesn't have anything to do with what I said about him not winning without Scotty. I don't know what
Space
we're talking
Space Jam 2 about. Wouldn't even be here without Space Jam 1.
I mean, come on, obviously. So there you go. All right, hit a couple questions. We're done here. Way too much talking. Is this from today's post?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Dumb. From the Facebook.
Elvis. I just watched Social Network again this weekend, actually.
You should know they're called the Facebook.
Elvis Presley, go.
What do you think about select over Prism for a modern long-term hold? I'm using this question because I sent you that spreadsheet the other day from someone in he reached out on LinkedIn, funny enough, sent over some really cool stats. Yep. I know other people have been talking about it in the group. We've yet to hear your opinion.
So in basketball, it's not. People can crap on Prism all they want, the haters of Prism, and they can talk about it. Select is absolutely nowhere close to Prism in basketball, and I don't think it's going to be for the foreseeable future. In football, though, I think Select's a better product. It's catching up in resale value as well, and it's already way closer anyways. Basketball, I want to say it's probably 3 to 4 times the premium for the same Zion card as a Select card and as a Prism card. You're probably talking 2-3 times the amount. Football, the gap is not that far, and I honestly think football is a better product. The other huge distinguishing mark in football, though, is you get those XRC redemptions for the following year draft. That's why I think Select in football, I would rather have a Select case in football sitting in my attic than I would basketball if I'm talking about a matter of 2 years or less. Because the flip side of that coin is, hey, it's awesome. You might pull a Trevor Lawrence card out of the previous year Select. So right now, Select came out last week. There was a Trevor Lawrence XRC card. It's QB1. So basically the first quarterback that comes out, I believe it was just I forget what the card was. But again, first quarterback taken, you'll get that card. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. You redeem it after the draft. It sold for like $12,000. It was insane. It's good and bad. It's awesome you can get a redemption like that early, but I'm pretty sure I'm sure like every other redemption, they have an expiration date. If they don't, please leave us a comment and tell me they don't, but I would assume there's an expiration date there. So long term, you got to be careful. If the biggest chase in this thing is not only the 2020 class, Herbert, Burrow, Hurts, Tua, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But if some of the built-in value is because you can pull Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, all these guys as redemptions, when the redemptions expire, you got to be careful. But if you said right now, what can I have for the next year? A Prism case of football or Select?
Yeah.
I take Select. I think in football, it's caught up for sure. Basketball, though, I don't think it does.
So to expound on that question, because I'm sure we're also going to have this one. All right. So you say Prism over Select. What about Optic versus Select?
They're close. I bet the resale on both those are very close. Got to go sport to sport then. In basketball, it's probably closer. I don't think Optic Football is anywhere close to Select Football, though. Not in terms of value, because you get the XRC. So football is a totally different animal. If you're talking about basketball, though, I bet Select... I'm trying to think of individual cards like Zion and Jazz. I bet Optic and Select are pretty close.
Okay, well...
You have some numbers, right?
So just a little shout-out. Jackson Hetch was the guy who reached out.
Yeah.
He did put together some numbers, specifically basketball. Mm-hmm. But as it stands, it looks like across the board, Prism is the way to go as far as value.
No question.
But it is interesting how it kind of goes back and forth depending on the player, even
of Optic and Select.
Optic and Select. Now, granted, it does look like in just about every case that Select has less of a pop count. And they're still, the values are still pretty close, if not in some cases higher.
Which is funny to me because Optic centering is so brutal, it's hard to get gems.
Optic does at least double, even triple the amount of cards that Select is putting out.
For PSA 10s, like for population.
For PSA 10s, yeah. For PSA 10s out there. So yeah, I think it's so like a Luka, his Select is worth more than the Optic PSA 10. But for Josh Allen, his Optic is worth more than the Select. In fact, there's like 6 players on here and it's like half and half forth. It is interesting how Optic and Select compare, but obviously Prism dominates all of them
in basketball. Again, it does not do that in football. And yes. The other thing for me is I don't think optic cards are that great looking. I'm not a fan of optic. I don't think it's that good of a it sells and it's valuable, no question. I think Select is way better looking than optic or prism. So okay. All right, hit a couple more questions quick and we'll be done.
All right.
I like that. It's interesting.
Mark John Sanchez from
He's a
Facebook.
Nashville guy. And from Nashville. Really? He's a Nashville guy.
Hey, Marky.
Also the ex-quarterback of the Jets.
That's not true. At what price do the lower grade Jordan Fleer rookies become a straight cash homie vault edition play?
Yeah, Jordan stuff is still, and here's the other problem. We have more PSA 10 rookies. We had a couple last week go off at the same time. There's more going off in another week or two. I honestly think they're still kind of flooding the market with these things. You got to give it some time, but the big auction houses don't, I mean, they certainly don't care about that. So
yeah,
you know, PSA 4s, PSA 5s, PSA 6s are starting to become very attainable for people. Soon, Mark, if the trend continues, I just wonder how much do they drop anywhere from here going forward, or do they also hit the real bump when we start to see, like we said, playoff basketball pick up, and then the Hall of Fame induction? Does that just kind of vault all basketball back to where it was? But if PSA 5s, I don't really go lower than a 5 with a Jordan. If those keep dropping, if those get back in the $2,500 to $3,000 range, you know, okay. I actually don't even know where they're at right now, but at $2,500, I'd be all in on them again.
Okay.
I'd be curious. I want you to, well, I'm pulling up eBay.
You do that.
Give me the next question. I'm super excited for this next one.
All right. We can probably do this as the last question because I didn't have a lot of questions today anyway.
That's fine.
The Facebook brings us Donovan Barnes. Donovan asks, you're going to be broke the next 3 years because you're in grad school, but you have money to invest right now. What players do you invest in now to help yourself over the next 3 years? So I think that question is more of like a, hey, what's low? What will eventually be high again? What do you foresee?
Real quick, just to answer the last question. PSA 5s are still doing 44 to 5,000. Again, if those ever came down to $3,000 again, $2,500 to $3,000, I'm all in. But
okay.
Over the next 3 years, you're going to be broke. You have money to spend now. So long-term holds him, we're talking.
Long-term, yep.
Does he have an amount there as well? Like how much money he has to spend or no?
I mean, he's a college boy, so obviously it's a lot.
So then let's just go generic when we're talking about players. We talk about vault guys, I think are great buys. So nothing special here, right? And at current pricing right now, I think LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, the Bird rookie, I think those are great buys right now because they're low. Okay. And I don't see those tanking anytime in the future. Brady, I don't think the NFL market is nowhere near as volatile as basketball anyways. I don't think you're ever going to see Brady just completely tank. So Brady, I think, is another guy I would buy now and just, hey, in 10 years, cool. It is what it is. You know, even someone like Mahomes, though, if Mahomes ever were to have a couple bad years in a row, I don't think he will, or get a gruesome injury where his career's over. Same with Tatis. They've shown great promise. And obviously Mahomes is way next level than Tatis because he's already won.
Mm-hmm.
But those are guys, like if Mahomes never played again right now, what's his long-term value? He had 3 great years, So if you're going to do it like that, I would go, the card we showed earlier, a Jim Brown rookie right now, I think is a great buy. Legacy cemented. Pricing has kind of tailored off. Still living. You'll see bumps there. So there's a number of guys in that department. Mike Trout, because in 3 years from now, I guarantee Mike Trout has more playoff performances than he has right now. So Trout's a guy, even though he's high, I would buy Trout now if I was going to go long-term with it. Walter Payton's another guy I've always put on that list. Just to kind of give you some diversity, Payton as a vintage football guy I like. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar rookies, I still think, we've talked about this since we started, crazy undervalued. Bill Russell.
In this situation, if these are too pricey for some guys, would you just recommend just going to a lower grade then? Like, stay with... similar card,
so,
lower
so
grade.
So Brady, you can't afford, again, round numbers. A PSA 10 Bowman Chrome's $10,000. You can't afford that. What's a PSA 7 doing? $1,500 maybe-ish? Again, I'm going off the top of my head. But yeah, I would go kind of like a flagship rookie, but I would just get a lower grade. The difference there, though, too, when you get to basketball, like a guy like Kobe, instead of having a PSA 8 tops rookie, I'd rather have like a PSA 7 of some card that's way less produced and maybe not even as known about. And then with some of the guys, Griffey, you know, Griffey's a guy we talk about. I love Griffey long-term because his cemented legacy. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, rookies are great. You start getting into the mid-90s, you go after those old school refractors and inserts. I think those cards, because they're exclusive now, 10 years from now, they're not going to be down in value. So when it comes to a list of players, there's not a list of two or three guys. You could buy any of these guys that we're talking about that are all-time greats at their sport. But then you just get selective. If you can afford to go after crazy, low-numbered, high-grade stuff, great. Now's the time to do it if you're going for basketball and even vintage football. I wouldn't necessarily do that with Trout right now. I think you wait till the offseason.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Long-winded answer. So on Thursday's show, or I say Thursday, we're recording Thursday, we got Scott from Star Stock coming on. He's going to kind of explain that platform. Again, I don't love all the tech stuff and all the different sites. Star Stock, I've started to look into a little bit. I don't hate it as much as I don't like the other ones. So that's a compliment.
That's a compliment.
We got some cool CEO guests coming up next week and the week after. So cool. Yeah, should be good. Again, Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. You can get it at Spotify or anywhere else you get your podcast at. Make sure you check out the Facebook group. We always try to direct attention there because it's the best forum for stuff, especially questions. That's almost always where we take our Facebook questions, our mailbag questions from Facebook. Sports Cards Nonsense is the name. We're on Twitter, Instagram, sportscardsnonsense.com as well. We've got card services. By the way, I'm going to send you a graphic later. PC Sports, they're one of our main consigners at this point. They are huge. They're doing a massive sale at the end of April. They're making a real push. They're already top 10 overall in sports cards on eBay, and I think they're top 5 in slabbed cards. They're doing like this $1 million push for like the last week of April. So we're going to put post details about that. I may see if you can get that on the website too, but I want to post that in the Facebook group. If you're looking to sell your stuff, there were two Facebook questions as well for Mailbag about, hey, you know, fees and tax on eBay and this other stuff. They ask me all the time, and here's the same answer. I use guys like Josh and just consigners to do it. 5-star as well. Matt Sellers is on there. I just consign my stuff so I don't have to worry about it. So yep. I don't have any specifics about eBay. I don't sell on it. I just let them do it for me. So you can check it on sportscardsnonsense.com. We will be back on Friday.
Friday.
Have a good day, sir. Friday. I don't know.
And you have a good day as well.
I'd like to get we'll have the stats for Friday's show as well. How many essentials? How many, I'll say this, and how many agains? I want to know. People want the numbers. Have a good day, boys. Later.
Bye.